Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, June 15th, 2023. 1 John.
Man, I just reached puberty. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, many of you have asked and wanted to know how Cindy LaRosa is doing in the Philippines and what's the status of the ministry there. Well, we got a email sent to us today. Cindy says, thanks so much for your prayers. I am doing well thanks to God's grace and God's power. The promises and doctrines of God's word are such a comfort. The word of God is alive and powerful. I'm planning to stay here in the Philippines as the Lord guides. I can help in the children's ministry and also with our evangelism outreaches as well as in the school. The Filipino pastors who trained under Ralph are well grounded and prepared to carry on teaching the Word of God. Actually, some already have their own flocks and are consistently teaching the principles and doctrines of God's Word. Thanks once again for the continued prayers. Love you guys, Cindy. First John chapter 4. We are in the paragraph 1 John 4 verses 1 through 6. And this paragraph is a mandate to all of you as royal family of God to discern sound doctrinal teachers from false teachers. 1 John 4, 1 through 6. 1 John 4 verse 1 starts out and says, beloved royal family of God, stop believing any and every, and then the Greek word is pneuma. And the question is, what does pneuma refer to? Now, generally, pneuma is translated spirit. But in the Word of God, the word pneuma is used four different ways. First of all, pneuma can mean blowing or wind or breathing or breath. That's not how it's used here. Secondly, pneuma is used for God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, as well as for the human spirit. That's the second use. That's not how it's used here either. Third, pneuma can be used of spirit beings, of angels, and evil spirits, demons. And then fourth, pneuma may be used of people. And Arnton Gingrich, The Greek Lexicon, page 684, says that's exactly how pneuma is used here. It's used of people. So here's this word, just translating it generally, spirit, but it's used here of people. But these are people who are influenced by a spirit. False teachers are influenced by demons. Sound doctrinal teachers are influenced by God the Holy Spirit. And this is how pneuma is used in our passage. These are human beings who are influenced by a spirit. False teachers influenced by evil spirits. Sound doctrinal teachers influenced by God the Holy Spirit. And we are commanded in 1 John 4:1 to discern sound doctrinal teachers from false teachers. And as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, through the filling of the Spirit, spiritual skill number one, and spiritual skill number two, the teaching ministry of the Spirit, well, you will get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. And you have to have that. You have to have maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart that provides doctrinal discernment, giving the believer the ability to distinguish between sound doctrinal Bible teachers and false teachers. False teachers are a part of Satan's strategy. 1 John 4 verse 1 sounds like this: Beloved ones, royal family of God, stop believing any and every influential speaker, every pneuma, communicator of the Word of God. There are lots and lots of communicators of the Word of God. Very few of them are sound doctrinal Bible teachers. We have a lot of people in pulpits all over America. Very, very few are sound doctrinal Bible teachers. So he said, the mandate is stop believing any and every influential speaker, communicator of the Word of God, but analyze, examine the spirits, the communicators of God's Word, whether they are from God, because many false prophets, false teachers, have gone out into the world to evangelize for the cosmic system. False teachers are a very important part of Satan's strategy as the ruler of planet Earth. These false teachers have a phony, hypocritical facade. Oh, they try to look like sheep. They're in sheep's clothing, but the Lord Jesus Christ declares they're not sheep. They are wolves that are in sheep's clothing, Matthew 7:15. They are Satan's evangelists for the cosmic system, 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 to 15. They proclaim a false gospel, 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, Galatians 1, 6 through 9. They proclaim false doctrine, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. So these false teachers are a very important part of Satan's strategy as the ruler of planet Earth. And then 1 John 4, verse 2 says, this is how the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, is recognized. Every spirit, every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges, teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. So our word pneuma here is used of people, people influenced by a spirit, false teachers influenced by an evil spirit, sound doctrinal spirits, our sound doctrinal communicators, spirits, are influenced by God the Holy Spirit. They are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. They are doing, they're studying in the power of the Spirit of God, and they are teaching God's Word in the power of the Spirit of God. Sound doctrinal teachers, pneuma, are influenced by God the Holy Spirit in their preparation and teaching of God's Word. So this is how the Spirit of God is recognized. Every spirit, every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges and teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. So sound doctrinal pastor teachers teach the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. These sound doctrinal teachers teach the hypostatic union of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And this is in contrast to false teachers, the false teachers of John's day, the Gnostics, who taught that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. Gnosticism rejected the hypostatic union of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said that Christ was simply an optical illusion, that he never really came in the flesh. So this was a very major issue at the time of the Apostle John. So again, verse 2 says, this is how the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, is recognized. By he influences every pneuma, every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges, teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, he is from God. So, the Word of God defines the characteristics of the sound doctrinal teacher. And that's why the only way you can determine sound doctrinal teachers from false teachers is you must have maximum amount of the Word of God metabolized and in your heart. The Word of God defines the characteristics of the sound doctrinal teacher. These characteristics of the sound doctrinal teacher are defined and explained in five titles given in the God-breathed Scriptures. And therefore, it is very important for you as royal family of God to know and understand these five titles of God's faithful communicators so you totally comprehend what a sound doctrinal teacher is and also what the MO is of the sound doctrinal Bible teacher. So we're going to take a look at the MO of the sound doctrinal teacher through these five titles. Title number one, pastor teacher. You hear that all the time, at least in doctrinal churches. You don't hear it very often anywhere else. Pastor teacher. It's found in Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. So turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 16. Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. Ephesians 4, verse 11, and he gave some as apostles. That was a temporary spiritual gift in the pre-canon period of the church age. Once the canon of Scripture was completed, there are no more apostles. There are no more apostles today. So that was a temporary spiritual gift. And some as prophet. That's another temporary spiritual gift in the pre-canon period of the church age. And some as evangelists. That's a permanent spiritual gift in the post-canon period of the church age operating today. And some, and probably your translation says pastors and teachers. Wrong. This is one person, one gift. Pastor, teachers, that's a permanent spiritual gift. In fact, in the post-canon period of the church age, this spiritual gift has the highest authority of any spiritual gift for the communication of the Word of God. And then he gives the purpose for the spiritual gift of pastor teacher. What is the objective? What's the MO of this sound doctrinal communicator of the Word of God? For the equipping of the saints. So, you, royal family of God, you need to be equipped. And that equipping cannot be accomplished apart from a sound doctrinal communicator of the Word of God, teaching you doctrine, teaching you doctrine, teaching you doctrine. And that's why you find a sound doctrinal Bible teaching church and then take advantage of it. You get your patootie in, sit down with humility and positive volition. Of course, that's very hard for many believers today. We're living in great arrogance in our country. Great, great arrogance with no humility, no respect for the authority of God, His Word, or the pastor who teaches it. So it's hard for believers today to assemble with positive volition and humility. That's the only two gifts you have to bring, is the gift of positive volition and humility. And then you assemble in a sound Bible teaching church and to get as maximum amount of metabolized doctrine in your heart as possible. And that's described here as equipping the saints for the work of service to the building up, the edification of the body of Christ. Spiritual growth, spiritual momentum, spiritual growth, bringing you to spiritual maturity. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the epinosis, the word knowledge there is epinosis, completed knowledge of the Son of God. And what is epinosis, knowledge of the Son of God? Well, now you have occupation with Jesus Christ. Virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. You fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life of why you're here. You have epinosis, doctrine of the Son of God, occupation with Jesus Christ. And then it says to a mature man, and a mature man, and we've had this word recently, is teleos, T-E-L-E-I-O-S, teleos, and that is the word for spiritual maturity. A mature man is a teleos believer, a spiritually mature believer, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And when you assemble under a sound doctrinal communicator of the Word of God consistently and faithfully, not hither and yon and whenever it fits into your priorities and schedule. Why then you can, so that we may no longer be children, infants, baby believers tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of false doctrine. False doctrine from false teachers. By the trickery of men, false teachers. By craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth, aletheuo, the sound doctrinal teacher communicates the absolute truth of the Word of God. In virtue, love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies. And the joint is this pastor-teacher. This sound doctrinal pastor-teacher is the joint whose every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body and the building up, the edification of itself in virtue, love. Well, this is the MO of the sound doctrinal communicator of the Word of God. And if you're not under that sound doctrinal, under the authority of the sound doctrinal communicator of the Word of God and growing up, well, then you will be... You will be the ones described in verse 14. You will be children tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of false doctrine, by the trickery of men. Trickery of men are false teachers. They're not sound doctrinal Bible teachers, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. So here we have both parts presented in this spiritual gift, pastor-teacher. So point one, the gift of pastor-teacher is one person. This isn't two different people. This is one person. This is one spiritual gift. It's not pastors and teachers. It's a pastor-teacher. PT. When I was at Bethany Bible Church and Pastor Breckel was the pastor there, who was a phenomenal Bible teacher and even a pastor theme, told me in person, you be sure and go back and tell Ron Breckel he's doing the best job of any pastor in this nation. And so I did, and he was. He also graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary. And I remember when he was teaching spiritual gifts to the congregation, and we had our congregation at Bethany was 97-95% college kids, not adults, but college kids. It was filled up with college kids, and as he was going through and teaching the spiritual gifts, it was really funny because I was living with some of these people and some of these guys, and they go, you know what? I think I have that gift that Pastor Breckel was saying today. And that went on through one and another. And you taught about pastor-teacher. I think I'm PT. I think I'm PT. I think I'm PT. And then Ron, Pastor Breckel, heard about it, and he says, I understand, I've been teaching about spiritual gifts, and I understand now a whole, everybody in here thinks that they have PT. He says, for most of you, that means potty trained. You are potty trained, but you don't have the gift of pastor teacher. So this is one person. Pastor teacher. And in the Greek in Ephesians 4, it looks like this. Tous poimenos, and then kai didaskalos. Now that's T-O-U-S. That's the accusative of the definite article. And then this is the accusative of the noun poimen. The accusative here is P-O-I-M-E-N-A-S. That's the accusative of poimen, pastor or shepherd. And that in the conjunction kai, K-A-I. And this is the accusative of didaskalos. In the accusative, it's didaskalos, D-I-D-A-S-K-A-L-O-U-S. Now, this is technically called tous poimenos kai didaskalos. This is technically known as an hendiades. I'll give you, you have a new word in your vocabulary. It won't be in Wordle, it's too many letters. Hendiades. In Hendiades, you have two nouns are joined by the conjunction chi. There's the conjunction chi. Two nouns joined by the conjunction chi to express one idea. That's in Hendiades. This is also an example of Granville Sharp rule of grammar, which states when you have two nouns in the same case, in this verse, two nouns in the accusative case, poimen in the accusative case, didaskalos in the accusative case, joined by chi, the first noun has the definite article, which we have there, but the second does not. then that single definite article governs both nouns, meaning that both nouns are talking about one and the same person. So this gift of pastor-teacher is God's description, one of his descriptions of a sound doctrinal teacher, sound doctrinal communicator of the Word of God, is a poimen didaskalos. Point two. The first word, poimen, is the word for shepherd. And it denotes the pastor's authority. Authority over a specific congregation. But like I said today, we have so many arrogant believers, they're too damn arrogant to get under the authority of a pastor teacher. They're their own pastor and authority. Poimen means a shepherd. It denotes the pastor's authority over a specific congregation. The shepherd has authority over the sheep. That's not that hard for you to figure out. The sheep don't tell the shepherd what to do. The shepherd has authority over the sheep. And he leads them to green pastures so that they can be fed the grace and truth of the God-breathed scriptures. So this sound doctrinal communicator has two words describing his M.O. First word that describes his M.O. is poimen, which means he is the shepherd, he is the one in authority. So, two then, poimen means shepherd, it denotes the pastor's authority over a specific congregation. Point three, the pastor's authority is established by his faithful and consistent teaching of the Word of God. That's how the pastor's authority is established. Through his faithful and consistent teaching of the Word of God. Four, the pastor's authority cannot exist apart from positive volition and genuine humility, objectivity, and teachability on the part of the congregation. The pastor's authority cannot exist apart from the positive volition, genuine humility, objectivity, and teachability on the part of the congregation. Five, the primary objective of the sound doctrinal teacher. What is his primary objective? What's in his M.O.? Primary objective. It is to feed the Lord's sheep. The primary objective of the sound doctrinal communicator is to feed the Lord's sheep. And we've seen this passage a few times, but turn over there again. John chapter 21. John chapter 21. It's an interplay between the Lord Jesus Christ and Peter. The Lord Jesus Christ and Peter. John 21 starting in verse 15. And we're going to have an interplay of two different words here between agapao and phileo. John 21, verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you agapao me more than these? Now agapao, this is the same John who wrote the first John, which we are studying. This is the Gospel of John, and he uses agapao for virtue love. So the Lord Jesus Christ asked Peter, do you love me with virtue love more than these? That is, to love Jesus Christ with virtue love is to have occupation with Jesus Christ. Virtue love is personal love for God the Father, the great motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind, the great functional virtue. and occupation with Jesus Christ. And this is, the Lord is asking him, do you have virtue, love, occupation with me? Yes, Lord, Peter answered, and you know that I, but he didn't respond with agapao, he responded with phileo. And phileo is a total soul love. You know that I love you with a total soul love, phileo. Then Jesus said, then feed my lamb. Again Jesus inquired, Simon, son of John, do you agapao me? Love me with virtue love. Are you occupied with Christ? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. I love you with a total soul love. Jesus said, then shepherd my sheep. Poimeno. See, poimen, shepherd, poimeno, shepherd my sheep. The third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, and this time Jesus said, do you phileo me? Love me with a total soul love. Well, Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. And you know that I love you. And then Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now, the sound doctrinal communicator of the Word of God has been given a mandate. The MO of the sound doctrinal communicator of God's Word is to feed the Lord's sheep. That's what he is here for. Not to get programs going in a church, not getting this going on and that going on, the other thing going on, not running around and going to hospitals and all of these different things, but to feed the Lord's sheep. So the primary objective of the sound doctrinal pastor is to feed the Lord's sheep. Six. It is impossible to fulfill this primary objective apart from several factors. It is impossible to fulfill this primary objective apart from several factors. First of all, you have to possess the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. Now you say, well, isn't that just true for everybody? Absolutely not. Unfortunately, there are many men in the ministry today who do not even have the gift of pastor-teacher. They're in the ministry, and they don't even have the gift of pastor-teacher. Now, it's impossible for them to be sound doctrinal communicators of the Word of God. Then there must be proper preparation. You have to grow up to the point where you recognize that you have the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. And then it requires intensive training. Intensive training is necessary so the pastor can use the original languages and dig out things for himself so that on a daily basis, so that he will have spiritual food to feed the sheep. And unfortunately today that's falling by the wayside. Unfortunately, even men that went to seminaries and learned the languages don't use those languages. Intensive training is necessary so the pastor can use the original languages and dig out things for himself daily and have spiritual food to feed the sheep. And therefore the pastor must spend the majority of his time in studying and teaching the Word of God. And that's true of every sound doctrinal communicator of God's Word. They spend the majority of their time studying and teaching the Word of God. Now, there are seven areas of sheep helplessness, and we're all called sheep. Seven areas of sheep helplessness. First of all, one, a sheep can't guide himself. A sheep cannot guide himself. Now, I'm going to contrast dogs and sheep, and there's no comparison. Dogs are way, way better than sheep. But a dog can be blindfolded and still find his way home. But a sheep has no sense of direction and is totally dependent upon the shepherd. A sheep can get lost in his own pasture or meadow. And we have believers in that category all the time. They react, they peel off, and they think they're going to guide themselves, and they get lost in their own meadow. Now, by analogy, the sound doctrinal communicator guides through the teaching of the Word of God on a verse-by-verse, line-upon-line principle. The sound doctrinal pastor guides the sheep through the teaching of the Word of God on a verse-by-verse, line-upon-line principle. A sheep cannot guide himself. Second area of sheep helplessness, a sheep cannot cleanse himself. A sheep cannot cleanse himself. Now, a dog or a cat, they can lick himself or roll in the grass, but sheep remain filthy unless cleaned up by the shepherd. And by analogy, the pastor must teach believers God's problem-solving devices, and especially he must teach the problem-solving device of rebound, which is how they recover fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and are restored to their spiritual life. And sad to say, even some pastors who at one point were sound doctrinal communicators have rejected the problem-solving device of rebound. Rejected it. And I'm not going to give you the names. I know the names of many who were sound doctrinal pastors who they kept getting together and communicating among themselves, and a bunch of them rejected rebound, rejected the problem-solving device of rebound. If you reject rebound and you don't teach how Christians can get back into fellowship with God, back into the filling of the Spirit, back into the spiritual life, those believers are dead. They're the living dead. And that, at that point, that pastor is no longer a sound doctrinal communicator of the Word of God. It breaks your heart. Like I said, I know many pastors that have fallen into that trap, and they rejected rebound. They don't teach how to get back into fellowship with God. Oh, they teach a lot of stupid things, but they don't teach rebound. Third, a sheep is a defenseless animal. Most animals have some form of defense, either their teeth, their claws, their speed, their camouflage, but the only protection the sheep has is the shepherd. By analogy, the pastor protects the sheep through the teaching of the Word of God. He teaches God's problem-solving devices and the significance of suffering, both punitive suffering and suffering for blessing. So the pastor protects the sheep, the sound doctrinal communicator of the Word of God, protects the sheep through the teaching of the Word of God, teaching God's problem-solving devices and the significance of suffering, both punitive suffering and suffering for blessing. Some believers will become invisible heroes and not only glorify God, but are also the basis for the preservation of the client nation to God. Fourth, A sheep is helpless when injured. A sheep is helpless when injured. Now a dog can lick his wounds and the saliva is therapeutic and expressive of his love for another who is wounded. But the sheep is dependent upon the shepherd to care for his wounds. And by analogy, when we as believers are injured and suffering for one reason or another, we are dependent upon the sound doctrinal communicator to teach pertinent Bible doctrine. The pastor teaches grace and truth so that they can recover through the use of God's problem-solving devices. He teaches grace and truth so they can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, so they can have virtue love brought to completion in their hearts, personal love for God the Father, motivating impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Jesus Christ, sharing the happiness of God. Fifth, the sheep cannot find food or water for himself. The sheep cannot find food or water for himself. Now, most animals can smell or detect water and find their own food, but a sheep must depend upon the shepherd for his food and water. And by analogy, the sound doctrinal communicator of God's Word teaches the Word of God, which is not only food for spiritual momentum and growth, but also the water of logistical grace for life support while the believer lives on earth. Six, a sheep is easily frightened or panicked. In the time in which the Bible was written, the shepherd would calm the sheep by the use of his voice or with music. By analogy, sound doctrinal communicators of the Word of God and faithful Bible teaching by those communicators prepares the believer for any and every emergency or disaster in life. Fear, worry, and anxiety are removed as one learns the principles of Bible doctrine and how to deal with them from a sound doctrinal communicator of the Word of God. But if you don't have a sound doctrinal communicator of the Word of God, why then you, the more things you surrender to fear, the more things you fear. To the extent that you surrender to fear, you increase the power of fear in your life. The more things that acquire the power of fear in your life, the greater your fear, your worry, your anxiety, so that eventually you become a loser without learning the pertinent Bible doctrine from a sound doctrinal pastor teacher. As a loser, fear destroys your capacity for life, for love, for happiness, and then you add arrogance to this, and you have the profile of a loser believer. Arrogance produces irrationality, self-deception, divorcement from reality, and mental illness. The loser believer does not lose his salvation, but he has wrong priorities in life and spends his time in punitive suffering, self-induced misery, warning discipline, intensive discipline, and if you don't turn around, dying discipline. Arrogance, fear, panic, worry, anxiety, irrational emotionalism are contradictions to the perfect plan of God and are characteristics of the sheep who reject the authority of their shepherd. They reject their sound doctrinal communicator of Bible doctrine. Seventh, the sheep produce wool as a result of the care of the shepherd. The sheep produce wool as a result of the care of the shepherd. By analogy, as a result of faithful and consistent Bible teaching on the part of the sound doctrinal pastor and the believer's consistent and faithful metabolization of that doctrine, the believers produce the equivalent of wool. That is, one, they advance to spiritual maturity. And become invisible heroes. Impact not only with man, but angelic impact. Secondly, they glorify God to the maximum. They glorify God to the maximum. Three, they have virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life. They have virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. Four, they become grace righteous believers with maximum grace righteous production. Grace-righteous believers with maximum grace-righteous production. Five, they put on the uniform of sacred honor, integrity, and virtue. So the sheep produces wool as a result of the care of the shepherd, as a result of faithful and consistent Bible teaching on the part of the sound doctrinal communicator, the believer's consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine, the believer produce, advance to maturity, become invisible heroes, glorify God to the maximum, have virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. They become grace-righteous believers with grace-righteous production. They put on the uniform of honor, integrity, and virtue. So in this one spiritual gift, this sound doctrinal Bible teacher is called a poimen didaskalos. The first word is one we've been studying, poimen, shepherd. He is the authority. The only way any members of the royal family will ever benefit from that is to be under the authority of that sound doctrinal Bible teacher. But if you're too damn arrogant, you won't be. The second word in this spiritual gift is didaskalos. D-I-D-A-S-K-A-L-O-S. Didaskalos. And that is translated teacher. So let's see, this is, describes the MO of the sound doctrinal communicator. Let's note a few things about this. One, didaskalos emphasizes the function of the sound doctrinal communicator of the Word of God. And what is the function or MO? He is to study and teach the God-breathed scriptures. So didaskalos emphasizes the function, the MO of the sound doctrinal communicator of the Word of God, which is to study and teach the God-breathed scriptures. Two, this is one person teaching a group of people. While poimen, or shepherd, emphasizes the authority of the sound doctrinal communicator, didaskalos emphasizes the function. So this spiritual gift has authority that is directly related to the function, which is the teaching of God's Word. And there is no effective teaching of the Word of God apart from authority. But we are living in arrogant times, and believers are too damn arrogant to function under the authority of a sound doctrinal communicator of God's Word. The sound doctrinal communicator must be single-minded. Bible doctrine must be more important than anything else in his life. And that sound doctrinal pastor, teacher, communicator must go out of his way not to compromise the Word of God. The sound doctrinal communicator must go out of his way not to compromise the Word of God. Three, the public assembly of believers in a local church provides the classroom for the teaching of the Word of God. The public assembly of believers in the local church provides the classroom for the teaching of the Word of God. The primary objective for assembling in a sound Bible teaching church is to learn God's Word. But learning to be effective must be accompanied by wisdom. And wisdom is the application of what you learn to life. It is the skillful and accurate application of the Word of God to every situation and circumstance of your life. 4, every believer assembles under the privacy of his own priesthood. Every believer assembles under the privacy of his own priesthood, which allows him objectivity and gives him the opportunity of realizing that everything taught comes from God the Holy Spirit, because the sound doctrinal communicator is influenced by who? By God the Holy Spirit. So every believer assembles under the privacy of his own priesthood, which allows him objectivity and gives him the opportunity of realizing that everything taught from this pulpit comes from God the Holy Spirit. The sound doctrinal teaching, the sound doctrinal teacher influenced by God the Holy Spirit. He's filled with the Spirit in his study. He's filled with the Spirit in his communication. This is the function of the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. The teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit is personal to each believer. The same passage that is taught, the same passage will encourage some believers and will rebuke other believers. So this is the function of the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. The sound doctrinal communicator is influenced by God the Holy Spirit. So this is the function of the teaching ministry of the Spirit. The teaching ministry of the Spirit is personal to every single believer. I'm the mouth, I'm the voice communicating up here. God the Holy Spirit takes that communication and teaches you. Now, you've heard Hebrews 4 verse 12 many, many times. For the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing. So here we have believers assembling in a local church, and I'm the voice communicating a certain passage of Scripture, 1 John 4, verses 1 and 2. And that word, God the Holy Spirit takes that word and pierces the people out there. Some of them it encourages, some it rebukes. There's nothing fun about being pierced, having a sword. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of the thoughts and motivations of the heart. So again, this is the function of the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. You assemble in a sound Bible teaching church under a sound doctrinal communicator. You assemble there, you know that the teaching is from God the Holy Spirit to you. This is the function of the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit, and the teaching ministry of the Spirit is personal to each believer. The same passage that is taught will encourage some believers and will rebuke other believers. When the privacy of the priesthood is protected by the pastor, then the believer doesn't have to think about anyone is talking about him. This is a sound doctrinal teacher influenced by God the Holy Spirit. 5. In personal application, the believer applies the absolute truth of the Word of God under the privacy of his own priesthood. In personal application, the believer applies the absolute truth of the Word of God under the privacy of his own priesthood. And therefore, while the teaching is public, the application of the Word of God must be private and self-imposed. 6. Every church-age believer is a royal priest. Every church-age believer is a royal priest. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, first of all, verse 5. You also are living stones. As living stones, you are being built up, edified as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. We are all royal priests to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then at verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the virtues of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So every believer is a royal priest. 7. As a royal priest, every believer must have privacy for objectivity in reception of doctrine and privacy in application. As a royal priest, every believer must have privacy for objectivity in reception of doctrine and privacy in application. Point 8, the purpose of the local church is spiritual, not social. It's spiritual. The purpose of the local church is spiritual, not social. You assemble in a sound doctrinal church to fulfill the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when the spiritual is fulfilled, then the social falls right in line and becomes something that is very wonderful. Making friends or fellowship in the congregation is optional, but it should follow rather than precede the spiritual. And the spiritual is to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So the sound doctrinal communicator of the Word of God, his first title is Poimen Didaskalos, Ephesians 4:11, pastor teacher. And that gives the MO of this sound doctrinal communicator. God's faithful communicators, influenced by God the Holy Spirit. All right. Well, that's one of five. We'll pick it up there next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.